إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we thank Him for the success to gather in a house from the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sit and to study together the works of the people of knowledge, clarifying the proper creed and the proper belief, the upright deen, and the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with evidences from the Quran and from the Sunnah. And indeed, the one who sets out on a path seeking knowledge, sincerely hoping for the pleasure of Allah and the reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping to learn what is obligatory upon him and how to perform that properly in order to seek the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal. And likewise, seeking knowledge in order to learn that which is impermissible and that which is haram and that which will earn the anger of Allah, in order to know that clearly and to avoid it upon clarity. This is from the greatest bounties and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this in reality is the path to paradise, as has come in that well-known narration in Sahih Muslim from the Haditha Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman, sahhala Allahu lahu bihi tariqan ila al-jannah. Sahhala Allahu lahu bihi tariqan ila al-jannah." That whoever sets out on a path seeking knowledge, meaning legislative knowledge, knowledge of the deen about Islam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make easy for him by way of that a path to paradise. A path to paradise, because there is a path that leads to paradise, and that is the path of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. It is known as as-sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path, which is the deen of al-Islam, and which is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which the companions were upon in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after that, and that which they had conveyed to the tabi'een, and to the atba' tabi'een, and that which they were upon from the pleasing deen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To learn this affair, and to know this affair, and to be upon that path. This is the means for success, because there is a path that leads to Allah, and there's a path that leads to the paradise and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the way that He has legislated, and that is the way that He has clarified in His book and in the sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And an individual, he is not born with knowledge. A person, he is not born with knowledge. Rather, he is born without knowledge, and he has to obtain knowledge. And knowledge is only by way of learning and seeking that and making effort to obtain it. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Innama al-ilmu bit-ta'allum." Innama al-ilmu bit-ta'allum. That knowledge is only by way of learning. So therefore, a believer, he has to set out to learn. He has to be diligent to learn. He has to have concern with regards to knowledge, knowledge of his religion, knowledge of the proper creed and belief, of the aqidah, al-aqidah salafiyyah, the upright and correct creed of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which he taught his companions radiyallahu anhum, and likewise the application of that creed, and fulfilling the obligations daily and that which is recommended, and likewise in avoiding the prohibitions and that which is disliked, and that which is doubtful and that which is disliked. So to be upon knowledge with regards to this is the means of success. A person, he has to seek that knowledge, and this is the path of paradise. This is the path to paradise, to learn. to learn how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly, to learn how to fulfill the obligation of tahara properly, and the obligation of salah properly, and likewise the obligation of zakat, and the obligation of fasting, as sawm, and as well as hajj. To the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to perform the pillars of Islam properly, inwardly and outwardly. And likewise, after that, the contracts and the dealings. It's incumbent to learn. It's incumbent to learn. It's an obligation to learn. It's the path to paradise to learn. The one who learns, he will have a high rank with Allah Azza wa Jal. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah, he mentions that he will raise those who believe amongst you and those who have been given knowledge, ranks and levels. Meaning the believers, they have a rank over the rest of the creation. Allah has chosen them. And Allah has chosen them and preferred them. He has preferred them with the great mercy and bounty, the bounty of al-Islam, and the bounty of guidance, and the bounty of faith. And from those believers, Allah has chosen and selected the people of knowledge, and preferred them ever even greater, and raised them in ranks according to their knowledge and application. According to their knowledge and application. And likewise, to have knowledge and understanding in the religion, knowledge of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost, and His right to be singled out in worship with love and hope and fear and humbleness and humility and devotion and trust and reliance. This is the greatest obligation. أَوَّلُ وَاجِبٌ عَلَى الْعَبِيدِ مَعْرِفَةُ الرَّحْمَنِ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ. The first obligation upon the slaves is to know Ar-Rahman, the Most Gracious, subhanahu wa ta'ala, by way of His Tawheed. His right to be singled out and worshipped alone with sincere devotion and faith, in public and in private, inwardly and outwardly. And this requires likewise to gain an understanding of that which is allowed and permissible, and likewise that which is obligatory and that which is recommended, in order to perform those obligations upon clarity. In order to perform those obligations upon clarity, it is a great shame. It is a great shame that a believer who be guided to Islam, and then he will stand before his Lord and worship him in a manner that is not pleasing to him upon ignorance. That he will not have concern after being given the blessing of guidance and the favor of Islam, and then he will satisfy himself with ignorance, and he will worship his Lord in any manner that he chooses or that he sees, or according to the customs of his people, without any guidance or evidence from the book or from the sunnah. This is shameful in a bad way. Rather, a believer, he should be shy to worship Allah, to fulfill the obligations that are upon him. After believing in him in the manner required, to fulfill those obligations he knows are upon him and the rights of his Lord, upon ignorance, upon innovation, upon deviation, without any clear knowledge. Rather, a believer, he must show concern for his shahada and his deen and his religion, and this requires to learn the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, specifically with regards to fulfilling the obligations, and knowing that which is good and wholesome, and knowing that which is allowed and beneficial, and knowing that which is good that one can partake in without any blame, and likewise knowing that which is foul, and knowing that which is corruptive, and that which is dangerous, and that which is harmful for the soul and for the society, for the soul and for the family and for the society, to know these things and to be aware of them, and to be aware of them upon clarity, and likewise to be aware of even affairs that are doubtful or unclear, in order to know about that affair, to avoid it and stay away from it, and to avoid becoming negligent and falling into sin, and falling into transgression, and violating the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the rights of His slaves. In order to do this, a person, he has to have knowledge, especially in these days, especially in this society. In the society, in the world in general, in this land specifically, it has become corrupted in many aspects. And that which is considered good and recommended in much of the society, in reality, is displeasing to Allah, and is a means to earn the anger of Allah. وَلِيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ. Something that is accepted, and something that is considered good, and something that is from the best of the affairs, and the greatest of manners and etiquettes to be upon. And in the society, many times, is from the worst of the affairs in reality. It's from the most lowliest of the affairs in reality. So to be aware of that, to have knowledge of that, and to be able to discern and differentiate between that, and to know who is upon the haq, and to know who is upon the batil. And with regards to the affairs in the society, and likewise with regards to the callers of falsehood, those who ascribe to Islam, to be able to know the clear path, and the one who is upon that way, upon clarity by the signs and the guideposts that come by way of knowledge. So like this, likewise, it's clear that the one who has this type of knowledge of his religion, knowledge of the obligations, knowledge of the recommended affairs and the paths that lead to the pleasure of Allah, subul as-salam, subul as-salam, that lead to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the pathways of evil and misguidance, in order to avoid them, this is a sign that Allah, He loves a person and wants good for him, that he will have this type of knowledge. And this does not necessarily mean that a person, he will be a scholar, that he will be a scholar and from the high-ranking people of knowledge, but rather he will have a foundation. He will know what's obligatory upon him with regards to himself and likewise with regards to those who are under his care. And he will know likewise that which is not permissible, for him and likewise for those under his care. If he has to go out into the world and deal with affairs, he has to earn a living, he has to know that which is allowed for him and that which is not. And that which is allowed for his children and that which is not. And that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him and his family and those under his care and that which is not pleasing to Allah azza wa jal. This is the knowledge that is beneficial and a sign that Allah, he wants good for somebody. Like has come in the hadith of Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan, radiyallahu anhuma, which is muttafaqun alayhi, man yuridi Allahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi din. That whoever Allah wants good for, He grants him understanding in the religion. So we praise Allah and thank Him for the opportunity to gather again in the house from His houses, to strive to be upon that path, the path to paradise, the path to the pleasure of Allah, to learn that which is obligatory upon us so that we can perform it, we can cooperate upon that and help each other and our families fulfill the obligations of Allah and maintain the religion and establish that in our homes and in ourselves, in our society, in our community. In hopes that Allah would accept from us and bring about good by way of us. And this is something that is a major affair. And the great blessings and bounties come from the likes of these gatherings, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, for those who are truthful and sincere. And we ask Allah to give us truthfulness and sincerity in our statement and our deed. The Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise, he said about this affair. مجتمع قوم في بيت من بيوت الله يتلون كتاب الله ويتدارسونه بينهم إلا نزلت عليهم السكينة وغشيتهم الرحمة وحفتهم الملائكة وذكرهم الله في من عنده. That there is no group of people who gather in a house from the houses of Allah, reciting the book of Allah. Reciting the book of Allah, and reciting it, meaning reciting those verses and likewise applying it. To recite the verses and to memorize them and understand them and to understand them and to apply them, this is the true recitation. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhum, they said, يَتَّبِعُونَهُ حَقَّ اتِّبَاعِهِ. Those who recited the true recitation, those who recite the Quran, the true recitation, and those who follow with the proper following. And likewise, studying it amongst themselves. And from studying the Qur'an is studying the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, one could never understand the Qur'an truly and properly in the manner that it was revealed and intended to be understood, except by studying the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a great affair. And those who do this like this, the reward for them is that they will be engulfed in tranquility and peace. And likewise, mercy will shroud them. And the angels likewise will cover them. And Allah, He will mention them. And He praise them amongst the angels. He will praise them amongst the angels. So we hope that these will be those gatherings. And that this is an opportunity for us to be in the application of the likes of these affairs. Applying that issue, gathering in the house from the houses of Allah, reciting the book of Allah and studying it amongst ourselves, seeking an understanding in our religion, hoping to apply that knowledge so that it will be a proof for us and not against us. We have been studying in these classes, alhamdulillah, the well-known work, Umdatul Ahkam, by al-Imam al-Hafid Abdul Ghani ibn Abdul Wahid al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 600. We have completed, by the grace and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, Kitab al-Tahara. And we have completed most of Kitab al-Salah. And we are in the end of that book, the book of al-Salah. On our previous class in this work, we had completed the chapter of Salat al-Jumu'ah, the chapter with regards to the prayer of al-Jumu'ah. And we start this evening seeking the help and the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Babu Salat al-Eidain. Babu Salati Al-Eidain, the chapter with regards to the prayer of the two Eids. Yani Sifataha wa Ahkamaha, the prayer of the two Eids, meaning the description of that prayer and the rulings related to that prayer. So this is the chapter specifically with regards to the prayer, the Salat of the two Eid, the description and how it's performed, and likewise the rulings that are related to that. The rulings that are related to that. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that Salat al-Eidain mashru'atun bil-kitabi wa sunnati wa ijma'. Mashru'atun bil-kitabi wa sunnati wa ijma'. That this particular prayer, the prayer of the two Eid, it is legislated. It is legislated by way of the book and likewise the sunnah, and also a consensus of the scholars. The people of knowledge, they mention in the book of Allah, Allah, he says, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. And pray for the sake of your Lord and slaughter. Many of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned, this is with regards to the Eid, Eid al-Adha. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. To establish the prayer and then to slaughter. Likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. That some of the people of knowledge have mentioned that this verse here likewise is an evidence for the legislation of Salat Eid al-Fitr, the prayer of Eid al-Fitr. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Verily, the one who purified his soul, he will be successful. وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. And then he remembered the name of his Lord and pray, and then he established the prayer. Some have mentioned yani tazakka, meaning they made zakat al-fitr. They paid zakat al-fitr, and this is one of the tafasir of this issue here. The one who is successful, the one who purified himself, and likewise the one who paid zakat al-fitr, and then he remembered his Lord and prayed. Salat Eid al-Fitr. So this is the affair, and likewise, yani the narrations, many of them that we will take in this chapter. Many of them we will take in this chapter. And this is something that has been established from the Khulafa after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until this day, and something that is agreed upon. It has been collected by Abi Dawood and other than him, rahimahullah, from the Hadith Anas radiyallahu anhu. He said, قَدِمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-Madinata وَلَهُمْ يَوْمَانِ يَلْعَبُونَ فِيهِمَا وَلَهُمْ يَوْمَانِ يَلْعَبُونَ فِيهِمَا. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to Al-Madinah, meaning whenever he made hijrah, he came to Medina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the people of Al-Madinah, they had 2 days that they used to play in, 2 days that they used to play and enjoy themselves in. فَقَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا هَذَانِ الْيَوْمَانِ. So he asked them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are these two days? Qalu, they said, kunna nal'abu fihima fil jahiliyyah. They said, these are 2 days that we used to play or enjoy ourselves in, yani as a celebration, before al-jahiliyyah, these two specific days. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, inna allaha qad abdalakum bihima khayran minhuma ya yawm al-adha wa yawm al-fitr. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has exchanged for you those two with two that are better. Indeed Allah, he has exchanged for you 2 days which are better than those 2 days. And that is the day of Al-Adha and the day of Al-Fitr. So these are the two Eids for the Muslims. These are the two Eids that come in the year for the believers. And there is one more Eid, and that is an Eid that comes weekly, and that is Yawm al-Jumu'ah. Yawm al-Jumu'ah. Likewise, it is a day of congregation and gathering and celebration. But the two celebrations that come yearly in al-Islam are only two, and there is not a third. And that which the people have invented and innovated and introduced from the birthdays and other than that, from celebrations and the likes like this, this is all innovations and falsehood and contrary to the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is not pleasing to Allah. And the believers, they should be aware of that. And from the meaning of that great narration, the means to find the sweetness of faith, وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِلْ إِسْلَامِ دِينَ وَبِلْ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ نَبِيًّا. The one who is pleased with Allah as his Lord, and with Islam as his deen and way of life, and with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his prophet and a role model, he will find the sweetness of faith. So in order to find the true sweetness of faith is to be pleased with these affairs and to suffice with that. So from the meaning of ar-ridha bishay al-iktifa'u bihi or qana'a bihi, that a person, from the meaning of being pleased with something, is that a person, he will suffice with that and he will be content with that, meaning he will not have to have anything else. So from being truly pleased with Allah as a Lord, He has decreed and created this creation, and He has legislated this legislation about Islam, and He has legislated for slaves 2 Eids and the year, and that's it. And this is what the Creator has decreed and legislated. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ Does not the one who created know best? So this is what He has allowed, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what has come in the legislation. So from being pleased with Allah as a Lord, and being pleased with Islam as a deen, a way of life, rulings and the likes and commandments and obligations to abide by, regulations and limits to abide by, and being pleased with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a role model and prophet and a guide to follow, absolutely is sufficing with these 2 Eids and not introducing something new. Even if they claim that it's good, or they claim that they love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's why they do it, like they claim with the birthday and the likes like this. We say to them, is this found in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did he do that? Did he have a birthday for himself? What about Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and any of the companions after them, radiyallahu anhum? Did they establish his birthday? Did they establish his birthday party in this manner out of love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Even if we go after that to the tabi'in, to the atba' tabi'in, to the tabi'at tabi'in, even if we look at Abu Hanifa and his madhhab, did he do that? Did he advise that? Was it recommended in his madhhab? Or likewise at Imam Malik, and after him at Imam Shafi or at Imam Ahmed. It was never known to them. It was not introduced in this time. They were all of them, they were unaware of that. So either these people, they claim that they have some knowledge of some goodness of this affair that they did not have, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, radiallahu anhum, all the way to the 4 Imams, these people now, they have more knowledge and they're more aware of this great virtue of celebrating and showing their love for the Messenger. They have more love than Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhum. They have more love than the Sahaba, yani, that they would celebrate like this. Or they claim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiallahu anhum, they didn't know about this affair, or they knew about it, or the companions knew about it and didn't even care. They knew about the virtue of celebrating the birthday and they have no care for that. They didn't have no care, they had no care for that. And this is a foul way. None of this is true, none of this is correct. Meaning that these people that claim that they're misguided, and this is not pleasing to Allah, and this is not true love of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had they truly loved him, they would suffice with his sunnah and his way. And from that, his statement, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَبْدَلَكُمْ بِهِمَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمَا, that verily Allah, he has exchanged for you 2 days that are better than those 2 days. And he will suffice with that. And this is from the greatest calamities of the ummah, and the reason of the downfall and humiliation, because the people, they don't suffice with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a role model. They don't suffice with his sunnah, whether they're looking for something different and they're looking for another way and they're following others besides him, absolutely. And this is not correct and not the way. Here we see that this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he established the day of Al-Adha and the day of Al-Fitr. The day of Al-Adha, the legislation of this affair, this is Eid Al-Adha. Which day is that? Huh? Al-Adha. The 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. The first of Shawwal is Al-Fitr. Now, so the Eid al-Adha is on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, and this is in the days of Hajj, rather in the greatest days of Hajj. And this Eid here is legislated showing thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the completion of Hajj and fulfilling that pillar, and likewise for those who are not attending the Hajj and performing it themselves, but that which they had performed in those 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, from their righteous actions of worship and striving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek His pleasure. So therefore, the Eid comes now after completing the pillar of Al-Hajj, and likewise completing all those great actions of worship in those first days of Dhul-Hijjah. And this is showing thanks to Allah. So therefore, the legislation of this particular Eid, it is coupled with the pillar of Al-Islam and showing thanks to Allah. It is coupled with the pillar of Al-Islam, fulfilling that pillar. And after the fulfillment of that pillar, then when he shows thanks and he celebrates and he praises Allah and he enjoys himself with his family and his friends and his loved ones in this manner like this. So it's related directly to a pillar from the pillars of Al-Islam, and it's an action of worship to establish this prayer. And even on the day of Eid, to eat and to drink, the days of Eid, and particularly in the Eid Al-Adha, the day of Eid, and likewise the 3 days after that, Ayyam al-Tashriq, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ayyamu aklin wa shurban wa dhikrin lillah. These are days of eating and drinking and remembering Allah. Days of eating and drinking and remembering Allah. So even if a person, he remembered Allah in those days, and then he ate and drank, and he showed his joy and happiness because it's Eid, seeking the pleasure of Allah. Now his eating and drinking is an act of worship, because these are days, now that he's happy, he's pleased, hoping that the worship that he did in those first days of Dhul-Hijjah is accepted, hoping that his Hajj and his efforts that he's making is accepted. And that's why on the day of Eid, the companions, they would say one to another, Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum. May Allah accept from us and from you. Meaning because they had been striving hard before that, to worship Allah, to seek the pleasure of Allah, to be obedient to Allah, to purify their intention and their soul and their actions, and to seek the reward and the pleasure of Allah. So now this great celebration comes, and they're hoping that their deeds were accepted. They're hoping that their deeds were accepted. The point is that these celebrations, they're coupled and related directly to their religion and for the sake of Allah, and with regards to the pillars of Al-Islam and showing thanks. And likewise, the day of Fitr. Likewise, the day of Fitr is coming at the completion of the pillar of fasting. Coming at the completion of the pillar of fasting. So the believers, they had fasted the month of Ramadan, and they had established that all through the lands. And then whenever the first day of Shawwal comes, after Ramadan is finished, it's legislated for them to celebrate and to show thanks. To celebrate and to show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the success that they were given to establish that pillar. To establish the pillar of Al-Islam, As-Siyam. And likewise, to fast all those days and to strive against their soul to be obedient, the charity that they had given and the likes and the good deeds that they increased in those days, and likewise the standing in the night prayer and the Taraweeh. So now they're celebrating that they had success to worship Allah and that they fulfilled this pillar, and they're hoping that it's accepted. Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum an a'mal as-salihah. This is what the companions would say, because they understood this affair, that this celebration here is showing thanks to Allah. It's not a celebration where a person, he will wild out and he will disobey Allah, and he will act a fool, and he will act heedless, and he will be neglectful, and he will be forgetful, and then he will transgress the limits of Allah. Would he have the beloved brother? He will show thanks and he will enjoy himself on that day with his loved ones and his brothers in Al-Islam, but in the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal, as he would do on every other day. Whatever he does, he will stay in the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal, especially on a day like Eid Al-Adha. And on a day like Eid al-Fitr, and he's showing thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that which he has given from success to establish the religion, to establish the pillars. So on those days, they will do more. They will do more of the mubahat. They will enjoy themselves, and they will laugh, and they will let the children have fun, and they will play, and they will eat, and they will drink, and they will do more from the things that are allowed. And yatawassa'una bil mubahat. On these days, any more, any being lighter and being easier, letting the children play, letting the family enjoy themselves, and the likes like this, celebrating the establishment of the pillars of Al-Islam. This is a great affair. This is an amazing affair. This is an amazing affair. So with these two Eids here that we're discussing now in this chapter, they are legislated and followed up by the completion of two great pillars of Al-Islam. The Eid al-Adha is coming at the completion of the pillar of Al-Hajj. And the Eid al-Fitr is coming at the completion of the pillar of As-Sawm, the pillar of As-Sawm. So this is the case. And it's legislated for these prayers here to be in congregation. It's legislated for these prayers here to be in congregation. These prayers here, Salat Eid Al-Fitr wa Salat Eid al-Adha, it's legislated for these particular salawat here to be in congregation. To be in congregation. This is an evidence or an indication of the virtue of them likewise. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the actions of worship that is legislated to be in congregation are more virtuous than those actions of worship that are not in congregation. And the ones that are legislated to be performed together and congregation, they have a high rank and status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have a high rank and status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And al-ijtima' is an intent and an aim and a goal of the legislation, that the people, they will be united and they will be together upon the truth, upon the correct creed, upon the correct belief, upon the correct path, the correct methodology, the correct way. This is a legislative goal and aim. And we see that if we ponder over the affair of al-ijtima', any gathering and congregations and being together, that Allah has legislated all throughout the year many different congregations. There is a congregation that is legislated once every year, a great congregation that is legislated one time every year. What is that? Al-Hajj, the great congregation of Hajj. This is legislated to congregate in this particular place at this particular time once every year. Every single year this congregation is legislated from the greatest of all congregations, the congregation of Ijtima' that occurs in Hajj, that occurs in Al-Hajj, in Al-Hajj. And likewise, there is another congregation that's legislated twice a year. That's legislated twice a year. Eidain. The two Eids. So this is another congregation that's legislated to be performed two times a year. Eid al-Adha wa Eid al-Fitr. And likewise, there is a congregation that Allah has legislated for His slaves to be performed every week, which is well known, and that is the congregation of Al-Jumu'ah. And likewise, there is a congregation that's legislated to be performed five times in every day and every night. And that is the Salawat al-Khams, the obligatory prayers. So all of these are legislated congregations, and they're from the Sha'air of Al-Islam, from the great sacred rites of Al-Islam. And this is in display of the establishment of the religion. That they're displayed, that the believers, they'll come together and they'll be congregated and they'll perform these actions of worship and these great sacred rites together, making the religion apparent, making it known, making it, announcing this affair, that the believers, they're united, that the believers, they're together, that the believers, they're congregated upon al-Islam, upon as-Sunnah, upon the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi وسلم, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The people of knowledge, from them is Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah. He mentioned a number of benefits with regards to these ijtima'at, these congregations. From the benefit of these congregations here is ta'lif al-qulub wa tarsikh al-mawadda bayna al-muslimin, to unite the hearts and to cultivate love in the hearts of the believers. From the intents and from the purpose and from the goal and the benefit of these congregations here. These congregations here is to unify the believers and to unite them and to cultivate love in the hearts of the believers one for the other, and that they'll have relationship with each other and that they'll be united together only for the sake of Allah. They will come to establish these congregations, the congregation of Hajj, the congregation of Al-Eidain, the congregation of the Jumu'ah, the congregation of the five daily prayers. They will come together, all together, hoping for their reward from Allah, meeting each other for the sake of Allah, not hoping anything from one another, rather seeking the reward and the pleasure of Allah. And this will bring the love for one another in their hearts, the true love, the love that's for the sake of Allah. So this is something that is legislated from the benefits of this. It's a great favor and a blessing from Allah. Whenever he sees his brother, whenever a believer, he sees his brother and his brother smiles and greets him and he finds warmness in his heart and he finds comfort and safety and security and love from his brother. He finds strength in that. His soul becomes strong. He becomes upright. He's aided. A believer, he's aided by way of his brothers. A believer is aided by way of his brother. He finds strength in the company of his brothers. So this is from the wisdom of these legislations. And this is a major and a great affair. The brotherhood of Al-Islam, the true brotherhood of Al-Islam, the brotherhood that's upon the Sunnah, that's working together and cooperating to be obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal and to His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Likewise, from the benefits of these congregations, mudha'afatul ajr, the multiplication of the reward, and the opportunity for the reward to be multiplied. This has come in the chapter of Salah we have read. The famous narration, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Salatul Jama'at tafdaru Salatul Fadhi bi sab'in wa ishrina daraja. That the congregational prayer is more virtuous and better than the prayer of a person alone by himself by 27 ranks, by 27 levels. So these worship, these actions of worship that is legislated to be done in congregation is more beloved to Allah. And this is an encouragement to establish them, that the reward is greater. Establish it in congregation because the reward is greater. So this is an encouragement for that congregation to be established. This is an encouragement for the congregation to be established because of the great benefits and because of the good that comes about from those congregations, like the unification of the believers and the love in the heart one for another, and the fact that the believers, they are together upon piety and righteousness, cooperating upon establishing al-Islam. Likewise, from the wisdom and benefits of these gatherings is in order to teach the ignorant people. In order to teach the ignorant people. Whenever the Muslims, they come together, then sometimes some of them are ignorant, or some of them are heedless, or some of them are forgetful, and their life's like this. But whenever they come in congregation, they will meet the students of knowledge, they will meet the people of knowledge, they will meet the people of virtue, they will see others, for example, praying and the likes like this, and they'll learn how to pray. Or maybe one of their brothers will see them doing something that's not proper or not correct, and he will remind him and advise him and the likes like this. So by establishing these congregations here, the ignorant is taught and educated, and the heedless is reminded, and the likes like this, and woken up, and the forgetful can be reminded as well. And so this is from the benefit of the legislation of these congregations. Also from these benefits is that to establish and to show outwardly the sacred rights of al-Islam. To establish and to show outwardly the sacred rights of al-Islam. Yani that, yani idhar, sha'ir, al-Islam. To establish them outwardly, and to announce that it's known that al-Islam is here and it's established. Al-Islam is here, it's established, it's in the hearts, and the believers, they have established this. The Jumu'ah established, the 5 daily of prayer, their prayers, they are established. The houses of Allah are visited and established, and the likes like this, and the Jumu'ah is established, and the Eid is established, and the pillar of fasting is established, and the pillar of Hajj is established. Alhamdulillah, the pillar of As-Salat is established. All of this is in clarification. Likewise, the Adhan is established. This is outward affair. This is displayed outwardly, and this is from the great rights of al-Islam, and it's displayed in this manner. And it is displayed in this manner. So these are some of the benefits with regards to that. With regards to any of these congregations here, and from them, the congregation of al-Idain. Likewise, al-Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah, he mentioned some benefits with regards to the difference between al-Jumu'ah and al-Eid. Any Salat al-Jumu'ah wa Salat al-Eid. And in some aspects they're similar, but in others they are different. In others they are different. So from that, he mentioned, rahimahullah, that Salat al-Eid is in the Sahara, and it's in the desert, it's in the field, it's away from the city, and it's out in the countryside, and the likes like this. And as for the Jumu'ah, then it is performed in the city and in the masjid. It's performed in the city and in the masjid. Likewise, it's mentioned from the wisdom of the Salat al-Eid being out, yani in the Musalla, out in the field or away from the masjid or the city area, so that likewise it's announced that the people there will leave and they will go out. That the people there will leave and they will go out, and it will be seen, it will be known that the people, they're all going out and leaving to establish the prayer of Eid. Again, and he's showing and displaying this great sacred rite of al-Islam. This great sacred rite of al-Islam. Likewise, from the differences is that Salat al-Jum'ah laha nida, wa Salat al-Eid laysa laha nida. That the prayer of Jumu'ah, it has a call for it. There's a call for the prayer of Jumu'ah, and there's no call, there's no adhan for the prayer of Eid. For the prayer of Eid. From the differences between the Jumu'ah and the Eid, likewise is in the Salat, that it's legislated in Salat al-Eid that there will be extra takbirat. And likewise, there will be a dhikr that's performed between these takbirat. Any that are extra, they're called a takbirat al-zawa'id. This is found in Salat al-Eid, and it's not found in Salat al-Jumu'ah. Also, from the differences is that it's legislated for Salat al-Eid to go on one path on the way there, and to return on a different path on the way back. On the way back. This is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mukhalafat al-tariq. They will go one way on the way there, and he would come back another way, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, what has been mentioned from the wisdom of that, again, idhar sha'air ad-din, to display at Islam. Everybody on this way, it's known that the prayers is established. And when they're coming back from another way, yani all throughout the city and all throughout the lands, it is clarified and known that this prayer is being established. That this prayer is being established. Alhamdulillah. Likewise, from the differences of these two prayers is the time. The time for Eid is after the rising of the shuruq until the time for dhuhr. As for the time for Jumu'ah, then the time when it's obligatory is whenever the dhuhr comes. But it's salah before that. And Allah knows best. So as for the Eid, it must be performed after the rising of the sun, but before the time of dhuhr. After the time of dhuhr comes, then the time for Eid is finished. The time for Eid has finished. Likewise, with regards to the differences, with regards to the one who missed one of these prayers. If he missed the Jumu'ah prayer, he will not make up Jumu'ah. The one who misses the Jumu'ah prayer, he will have to pray dhuhr. There's no making up, there's no qada for Jumu'ah. As for the one who missed the Eid prayer, then there's qada for him. He will make it up in the manner that it is prayed, and if he missed it in that same time. So from the differences between Salat al-Jumu'ah and Salat al-Eid is that Salat al-Jumu'ah la tuqda. Salat al-Jumu'ah la tuqda. The Jumu'ah prayer is not made up. The person who missed the Jumu'ah prayer, it's not allowed for him to make up Jumu'ah. There's no making up of the Jumu'ah. Rather, he would have to pray Dhuhr. And this is something that is important. If a person, he came for the Jumu'ah and he found the Imam, and he, after he made ruku' and in the second rak'ah, for example, he caught the Imam after that, he did not catch the ruku' of the second rak'ah, then he would have to pray Dhuhr. He will not join the prayer. If he joins the prayer, he's going to have to make it up as Dhuhr. You understand that? Somebody who came to Jumu'ah and the Imam had raised from ruku' before he can make takbir of the second rak'ah, then he finished the prayer with the Imam. What would he have to do after the Imam makes taslim? He will have to stand up and pray dhuhr. So he comes at that time with the intention of dhuhr. He will not have the intention of Jumu'ah. He did not catch the Jumu'ah prayer. So there's no making up the Jumu'ah. As for the Eid, Allah knows best. Many of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that it will be made up. It will be made up in the manner that it is. If a person, he came and he caught and he missed the Imam and the likes of the Eid Salah, then he can make it up. In the same manner that it was prayed. And if he caught it in the same time, so long as the time is still there. And Allah knows best. Likewise, from the differences, it's not legislated to make tanafful before Salat al-Eid. وَتَنَفُّلْ يُشْرَعُ قَبْلَ Salat al-Jumu'ah مُطْلَقًا. Yani, that before Salat al-Jumu'ah, it's legislated for a person to pray the non-obligatory prayer as much as he likes until the Imam comes, and without a limit. Before Salat al-Jumu'ah, he'll come to the masjid, and it's legislated for him to pray two rak'ah as he likes, as many as he likes, until the Imam comes. He can pray two or more as he likes. This is legislated. As for before Salat al-Eid, there's no legislation of a non-obligatory prayer. Likewise, it's recommended for the women to be brought in to attend the Eid prayer. And as for the Jumu'ah prayer, it's like the rest of the prayers. The women, they are allowed to attend, but the home is better for them, and Allah knows best. As for the Eid prayer, it's recommended for them. As will come in some of the narrations that the author, he mentions, we study, inshallah. And also from the differences is that the khutbah of the Eid, it comes after the salah. And it's not obligatory to attend. And as for the khutbah of Jumu'ah, then it comes before the salah. So the salat of the khutbah of the Eid is not a condition or an obligation of the salat. As for the khutbah of Jumu'ah, as a condition for the salat. A person, you cannot pray Jumu'ah except he prayed, except there's a khutbah. The khutbah must be established, and then there's the prayer. Like this. As for the Eid, then it's just the prayer. If a person, he attended the khutbah, is allowed, and if he did not, there's no blame in that. And Allah knows best. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.